Breaking It Down with Frank McKay. This is 103.9 LI News Radio.
I'd like to welcome everyone to Breaking It Down. Frank McKay here, so much more importantly, a wonderful vocalist, and you know his work from so many things, but certainly the Temptations, the lead vocalist of the Temptations, and the Drifters, and the young folks, and actually not even just young folks, but they know him from South Park, a special appearance on South Park, which was incredible, very funny. But if you're a listening and music fan, you've got to check out When Doves Cry, a new version of the Prince song, a reimagined version of that, and it's with Star Parodi, and the two of them just do beautiful work together. Lewis Price, how are you?
Hey man, I'm really well, and thank you so much for that beautiful introductory, man. That was, come on man, I got to take you on the road with me.
Well, listen, I would love to do that. I'd love to do it just to watch you sing and listen to you sing all night. It's you have a beautiful voice, and everyone that hears you says the same thing. When did you realize in life that your voice is a little different than others, and it stood out?
Oh, man, that's a great question. First of all, thank you so much. I really appreciate that and mean that from the bottom of my heart. It's a blessing, man, a gift that God had given me, and I just really don't want to take it for granted anymore. Not that I have totally, but you know, when you don't push as hard as you should push, you know, you kind of like taking it too easy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So what the answer to your question? When we were young, in fact, this is interesting because when we first came about, you know, on the earth through the womb, in my family, everybody had to be able to sing in order to stay in the family. And they got a little saying that if you couldn't sing in our family, they'll give you to you at 2 years old. And if you couldn't sing after 2 years old, they put you up for adoption. No offense to anybody, but it was seemingly like that because everybody in my family could sing. So at 2, 3, 4 out, man, I was singing. My mom was kind of like a phenom, she's a great singer. But I started singing, man, when I first came out, and it was just a blessing, a gift, and I knew it at a young age, and I just was not scared. I accepted it, and I just kept confronting challenges, and this is where it brought me to.
No, listen, it brought you a lot in life, and brought people that listen to you a lot in life. The first time you recorded, what was the circumstance? What was the project and song, if you remember?
Wow, you got me going back now, boy. Let me see. The first time I recorded, you know, it was kind of interesting, wonderful life because of my mom. I mean, she was really a great, well-known singer, and I'm sure people will look her up after they hear this, gospel. But because she was phenomenal and known in Chicago as a little kid, we used to have to sing background with her on the television shows she would do with Sid Ordow. I forget the name of the show, but it was a gospel show that came on every week. And so my mom would perform on this show pretty much twice or more a month on this gospel television show. So we are on television and singing and recording and doing all those things. But individually, when I first did it individually, I think, let me go back to when I was maybe 15, 16, and I was in high school, and I auditioned for a thing called The New Performers. And The New Performers was a great television show concept that they had put together one year prior to that. And they would audition, everybody in the school system could audition for 6 starring roles and 22 cast member roles. And so I auditioned I made one of the star roles. And so I was on a television show with, I don't know if people know this guy, Mandy Patinkin was selected as one of the stars, and then 4 others. And our co-host was Jerry Van Dyke.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's Dick Van Dyke's brother, and he was the star
yes.
so many films and episodic television shows. My Mother, the Car was the probably one of the earliest ones. But after that, Coach, I think it was on Coach, and did so many great things.
Right.
But yeah, you know, that's terrific, and to be influenced at such a young age by your mom. Maybe we'll do a little bit on your mom also. I mean, it's fascinating. Lewis Price is the voice that you're hearing here. And if you haven't heard his singing voice, you got to hear his singing voice. It's wonderful. But you've heard it with the Temptations and the Drifters and so many other things. You've seen him in the film White Men Can't Jump and so many other things. I mentioned South Park. That's such a cult classic. Frank McKay here with the wonderfully talented Lewis Price. Let's do a little on your mom. What was her name, and what could people look up about her that you think that would really be a good telling of her voice and her talent?
Well, her name is Vernon, V-E-R-N-O-N, Oliver Price. That's what she goes by, Vernon Oliver Price. And she has an album out, a CD of, you know, okay, I'm old school, I'm busted, everybody knows now. But anyway, they can get it on CD Baby, they can get it on iTunes, Apple Music, Amazon, if they look up Vernon Oliver Price, and they'll see some lovely, endearing songs that they would just fall in love with. And then they can also look her up on YouTube.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, if you want to hear this man's voice, listen to Here to Tempt. Wow. I mean, what a performance he gave on that song and so many others. How many albums total with the Tempts have you done?
I did three albums, Frank. And one, I was never released. I wonder what they've done with that, but I did one with a I forgot this Norman, I think his name Norm. Yeah, I think the guy with the Tramps. He was the producer of Tramps. Remember Tramps?
Yeah.
Burn, Baby, Burn.
Yep, they had a big disco hit and a couple.
Yeah, big disco hits, and then that was our first one when we first signed to Atlantic Records. And then I did another one with the Holland Dozier Holland brothers. Well, but it wasn't Dozier. It was Holland, because Dozier had left them. And we did a project with them. And then we did something else, and it never came out. So I did three albums, but two that were released.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I'll tell you, when there's that lost album, you know, it just kind of rises curiosity. Do you have any copy of that? Do you have even the acetate or even a cassette of that album that was never released?
You know, I came across it once or twice and then misplaced it again. And ironically, I went to Chicago, and a friend of mine that I hadn't seen in probably 20, 30 years, we ran into each other and went by his house, and he played me some songs from the thing. And I didn't get a copy. He was supposed to send it to me, but he played me some songs, which I was so, so surprised. But anyway, that's the extent of that. So I probably can eventually get maybe a hold of some, and I kind of look forward to doing it as well.
You know, I was just peeking at this. Norman Harris, the late Norman Harris, played with the Tramps. He was a bass player there. Is that who you were talking about, or were you talking about
I think that was him. Yeah, that was him. Yeah.
Who can you point to outside of your family circle that was anything like a mentor or somebody that you kind of modeled yourself after?
Boy, that's a good question. I when I was coming up, I like the low range singers. I shouldn't say that. First influence, probably outside of my family, was not necessarily outside of my family, but it was like an uncle who he married into the family. And his name was Rebert Harris. And one of the best singers I'm thinking that anybody could have ever heard. I'm telling you, he was the lead singer of the Soul Stirrers. He influenced so many great singers, Sam Cooke to be one of them. In fact, if you listen to Sam Cooke, if you listen to my uncle, you're here, you will hear Sam Cooke, because it seems to me that he kind of like, you know, kind of like took after my uncle. And Sam Cooke refers to him in books and stuff. And also, I was so surprised that when I was looking back on YouTube and I saw when they inducted the Temptations into the Hall of Fame, David Ruffin stated in his first paragraph that Reba Harris was a major influence. And I didn't even know that. And I had an encounter with David that we could have talked. And me and David talked on a few occasions and stuff. So it would have been wonderful and exciting to talk about my uncle with him, who he probably patterned some of his things from.
Yeah, well, I mean, just Sam Cooke alone has influenced so many people. Like you and Steve Perry from Journey, who was, you know, such a great singer in his heyday. You could tell the Sam Cooke influence that he had on Steve Perry, and if that's coming from Reba Harris, that's an amazing influence tree. And if you think of how many people Steve Perry influenced after that, it's just amazing.
Oh my, it was phenomenal, and I was. I mean, he told me a little story I can tell you. I don't know how much time we have, but he told me a little story. When I first got to California to be with the Temps, I was here and something told me to call them and just to kind of like, you know, get an idea how things possibly might be, you know, when somebody gets into the mainstream and have been there before, you know, you can call and ask them, especially if they're close to you or your friends or whatever. And you can ask them, kind of get an idea of what it might be, what you're about to go through, right? Yeah. So when I got here and I called them and got him on the phone, and he called a Crane. Crane was like Crane was one of the founders of the Soul Stirrers. And then they were talking to me on the phone, and I remember Uncle Reeve was telling me a story about how he used to go in the backyard as a little young kid and listen to the birds, and he would imitate the birds, right? And so he started singing like, and kind of, you know, was telling me basically that he kind of like started the falsetto thing. You dig? And I'm saying, wait a minute, is he saying this to me? And I don't know how solidly that is, but I, at one point, thought that I would go and trace and see when it started coming. You know, when was that falsetto really impacted and impactful and moving in our musical world, you know? But he used to tell me people used to come to see him because in the old days, the church was like the arenas, and people the groups would visit the churches, and they would come all out from everywhere. And so the Soul Stirrers was like the Temptations. You know, people would come and say, oh, the Soul Stirrers, like the five blind brothers and boys and all that stuff. So everybody started singing differently at a certain time, and I got to just trace it back in history because I might find there is some validity behind what he said. Not that I'm thinking he's lying, but you know how a lot of people
It's exciting. It's exciting to look back and just check. And it could like rejuggle some memories that he told you and that maybe even forgot or kind of just fell through the cracks. So, I mean, that's that's an exciting experience. Lewis Price is the voice that you're hearing, or if you're just joining us a little late or turning on your radio a little late, Lewis Price, his work from being the lead vocalist of the Temptations, Drifters. But now you have to go to check out his performance and buy this, download it, but don't illegally download it. Buy the damn thing. And Lewis Price is paired up with Star Parody, and the two of them did some job on When Doves Cry, Prince's masterpiece, and it's a reimagined version. It is something. You've got to be very pleased with how that came out.
Yes, I am, man. I'm listening to you tell people, please, just do it legally, please.
That's right. Well,
download it legally, please. We need the numbers, okay? We need the support. We need the love, and we need to share. you know, this wonderful, you know, gift that God has given us. And everybody has a gift. And yes, I'm very happy. Star is a beautiful, beautiful person. We've been friends for over so many years. I don't want to date myself as more than I have to. But she's a lovely person, very creative, very beautiful, and it's just a joy to work with her. You know, we've done some things. I don't know if you're familiar. We did a song called "Play It by Heart."
No, I didn't. That I didn't know. "Play It by Heart." Is it available?
Yeah, it's on my first single off of on Motown, right?
But now Motown, when you
came, I'm sorry, not on Motown. Yeah,
on Atlantic,
Motown.
Right? Oh.
No, Motown, right.
Yeah.
My solo single.
Yeah.
My solo album of my project, yeah.
See, that's interesting because you came right during the transition between Motown and Atlantic. You know, you went from one great label to another, but you went in that transition, and then you ended up on Motown for your solo work, which is really,
right.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's you know, it's different, but that's the way the business goes.
Hey man, it was kind of amazing how it happened. I had gotten back from working with the Drifters and Benny King and man Johnny Moore. I mean, that was such great training. That was such great experience. And I met, you know, great friends. And Benny King, he turned out to be one of my best friends. One of the most beautiful people you could ever meet, Frank. But anyway, I came back from a tour, and I was exhausted, and I got a call, and the guy said, well, hey, man, I want you to come and play at this party if you don't mind. And I said, man, I can't play it no more. I'm wore out, man. I can't hang. He said, well, wow. He said, because it's Sidney Poitier's birthday party.
Wow. Wow.
I know. So I say, okay, what time?
Yeah.
And so anyway, I ended up going to the party and performing, and in the audience, Berry Gordy was there with his entourage, Suzanne DePass and Susan DaCosta and his family, and so afterwards we got together, and he asked me what I was doing. And he was very impressed. He said, oh, my God. He said, you're great. You're great. And he had never heard of me, and I had been with the Temptations because, remember, the Temptations left Motown.
Yeah.
Okay? So, anyway, that's how it kind of changed around or reconnected because he had an interest in me, and he told we exchanged information with his people and stuff. And to make a short story longer, that's how I got back to how I got to Motown.
Lewis
by Barry signing me personally.
Yeah, that's incredible. Lewis Price, once again, from the Temptations, the Drifters, and his latest is When Doves Cry, along with Star Parody, and it's just an incredible version. Frank McKay here with Lewis Price. Let me ask you your first impression of the legend, Berry Gordy. I mean, he's like no other. He's had a career like no other. And that doesn't mean other people haven't matched him, but not exactly. He's what he did is he created a sound, and he created a sound at a time when the music business was in flux. And what he did out of Detroit was just it was unbelievable. What was your first impression of him when you sat down with him and got to know him?
Man, just to extend the gracious words of truth that you were speaking on, it was a phenomenal deed for him to do what he did with his foresight, his effort, his musical talent, his hardworking and just never giving up. And it's just amazing because he's changed the lives of everybody, pretty much in this world who's involved with music. I mean, you cannot go anywhere without knowing about Motown or feeling great about their songs, and even the young people. When I go and sing Motown, My Girl, the young kids, I do it at schools, and these kids get up, man, and I give them the mic, and they sing the song, and just everybody in the audience is singing. It's just an amazing, amazing feat, man. So anyway, this guy, Barry Gordy, is a great, 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 great innovator, man, and historian. I met him that night. He was very cool, very receptive. The first time I got a phone call from him, I didn't know who he was, and I'm at my place in California, and I get a phone call, and the people said, excuse me, Lewis Price? And I said, yes. They say, please hold for the chairman. I said, what? And they get off the phone real fast and put me on hold, and I'm saying, please hold for the chairman. I said, who is the chairman? And I'm just pondering this statement and wondering, who is the chairman? So finally, they come back on and say, I'll hit the chairman. And then Barry gets on the phone. He said, yeah, this is Barry. Barry Gordy.
Wow.
And so we started to talk, and he's very warm and welcoming and just down to earth. And he says, hey, man, I think you're great, and boom, 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 what do you want to do? He asked me questions, and I said, man, I want to make it happen. I want to give it a great chance. He said, well, I can make stars. That's no problem. And I said, yes, sir, Mr. Gordy. I know your record, So anyway, that was the first encounter in a telephone conversation. Then after that, he would call me up to his home and kind of like screening me out, He would try to find out what kind of person I was. And so he would call me up. He said, Lewis, come up for lunch. And I said, okay. And I'd just go up to his place in Bel Air, okay. And I'd be looking around, wow. And I'd get up there. And then he would just have, we would serve lunch, and then he would talk and just picking my brain and finding out where I was coming from, see if he really wanted to be invested, to invest in me and with time and music and money, And so that was cool. Then I learned so much about him. He was telling me how, everything he did, he would record, because he didn't want to miss the lightning. He didn't want to miss the magic. And I understood what he was, he was saying, because I thought at that time, I'm not absolutely certain, but I used to do the same thing. If I came up with a song, I'd grab a recorder real fast, or I would call on the phone when they have answer machines, when they didn't have the convenient recorders, and I would sing the song on the answer machine.
Yeah.
So when I got with Barry, and that way I wouldn't forget it. But the thing that was different, Barry would have the recorder going, and so when it came up, the magic was already captured. Because the worst, well, not the worst thing, but one the tough thing is that when you think of something, you say, oh, wow, what was that? And then you try to record it, but if you already got it in the natural flow of time and existence, then you catch the magic that made you feel great or that made the people respond to it great. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a wonderful point. Lewis Price, once again, is our very special guest, and, his work from The Temptations, his solo work, The Drifters, you've seen him on everything from South Park to White Men Can't Jump. Really, he's put together an incredible career. Frank McKay here, reminding everyone you're listening to Breaking It Down, and our very special guest is Lewis Price from Temptations fame and The Drifters. When Doves Cry is his latest, and everyone's got to buy that. Don't illegally download it. Once again, Stahl Parodi is his collaborator with that, and wow, what a performance they did when Doves Cry. That's the Prince masterpiece that they've re-envisioned in such a unique way, in a different way, and really, Lewis Price is just a super talent, and I'm thrilled to have him. What's next for you? Do you have a fluid schedule? Is it set in stone, or is it kind of do you go with the flow? Do you lay it out? What kind of guy are you? Do you map everything out, or do you kind of go with the flow?
Well, as you live, you're supposed to learn, and then it depends on the urgency and the sincereness and the objective that you really come to want to do in the learning process. And so now I say all that to say that I'm now going to be more aggressive because I think that I don't think that I've really shown people what talents God has given me. And I don't think I've shown it any effort that needed to have been shown. And so now I'm really, really gung-ho into doing more, getting my songs out that I've written, my solo project, my collaboration project, you know, with other people. But I'm a songwriter, and I write songs, and I have some beautiful, great songs. And everybody asks me always, hey, whoa, I love to hear those songs, because I perform them live. But, you know, I gotta finish it. So I'm going to be very, very aggressive now in trying, and not trying, but recording my songs, getting them out there. This was a great boost for me because Star and I, we had been trying to do something, and we kept saying, should we put it out? Should we put it out? And Star, I mean, to her, she's just, like I say, a very wonderful person. And she said, Lewis, let's do it. And I said, come on, what's holding us up? And it's one of the best things that we could have done because, first of all, I'm talking to you, and you're talking to me, and you're talking to people. And it's just a blessing when you get a chance to start something, and then you just continue to meet people and greet people and learn from people. And then if you stay in the house, none of this would happen. If you stay closed up and don't do nothing, nothing happens. But if you put yourself out there, things really can happen. And so you have to have faith, but you have to work hard because this business is so competitive now. So competitive now, but you just have to learn the way that you have to go about in this day and era. So that's what I'm doing. I'm being more aggressive. I'm recording. I'm looking forward. I do live shows all the time. I got a show here in December the 13th. I got a show, the show that we do, I say December the 13th because that's a show that we do every December. We do a show. And I got things lined up. I got a show September, October, November. They're doing a celebration award for the Midnight Mission. It's a mission downtown that feeds a lot of people and just change people's lives around. Not just feed them, but they educate them. They bring them in for a program. They try to get them to learn different trades, and they get them off the street. And it's just such a beautiful place and the effort that they do. Anyway, they're honoring Smokey Robinson. Wow. I'm performing. I don't even think Smokey knows yet, but he probably will know now after when everybody gets to tell him. But I shouldn't have said this. But anyway, I'm going to perform before they present him the award. And so that's going to be an honor. So I know Barry Gordy, all the Motown people, and all the people that love Smokey are going to be there. So I'm really trying to just focus and plan and make some great things happen. But I also, because in this business you have to be flexible, I'm definitely flexible, and so I'll arrange my life accordingly.
Yeah. Well, listen, it's terrific. And, you know, you say you're going to put more effort into your career or whatever, and a lot of people are saying, man, I would love to have a tenth of the career that this man has had. Lewis Price, you know, his work from The Temptations and Drifters and his solo work and everything from White Men Can't Jump and South Park appearances, Star Parody.
A lot of people don't know, Frank, that I did Happy Feet. Happy Feet 1.
Oh, I didn't know that. Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, I you know, a lot of the songs in these movies, you know, you do cues and you are an ensemble. And you do work in bringing, you know, little certain things to life in the song. And I've been very, very fortunate. You know, I was on the committee, SAG, recording negotiating committee for SAG after the first negotiating for the, what do you call it, the collaboration of the combined unions after in SAG. And so just a lot of stuff that I'm really trying to be aware of and be involved in, to make a difference and to give back. But Happy Feet, was Lion King, In fact, Happy Feet 2, I think I sang did that song. I sang that song. And a lot of people don't know. I don't know if they credited me, but I think they did. But you look in those movies and you look at a lot of those movies, you'll see the credit, Lewis Price. And it's just been a blessing. And I'm really thankful. And I'm thankful for what's going to happen as well. So I'm thanking the audience in front. Hey, thank you so much for helping me continue to be and do the things that God has given me a gift to do, you know.
Well, listen, it's been a great career. I want to congratulate you on a great career, and I want to thank you for being here, and hopefully I can get a part two with you one of these days. Lewis Price, thank you very much for being here. Give us a website or a social media site where people could follow along.
Okay. My website, where they can sign up and subscribe and see what's going on, is lewisprice.tv. And that's LOUISPRICE.TV. My Twitter is, I think it's Lewis Price Music.
Terrific. Mm-hmm. Listen, it's been a great career, and it's still going strong, and I think the best is yet to come. Lewis Price, thank you very much once again.
Frank, I appreciate you, man, and I'm just so glad to have talked to you. I love your spirit, and I just thank you for great questions, man. Great questions. And hey, the best to you, success to that radio station, man. That's a lot of great listeners are listening to you, and I know why. Because you're a wonderful guy, man. So, hey, bless you. Thank you so much for your precious time.
Well, you too, Lewis. And everyone, get Lewis's latest, When Doves Cry, and that's with Star Parody. It's just an incredible version of Prince's masterpiece. But you know his work from everything. You heard him, The Lion King and Happy Feet, and work, of course, with the guys from South Park and... White Men Can't Jump, but everyone knows him as the lead vocalist of The Temptations and Drifters. His solo work, again, When Doves Cry, is the latest. Buy it. Don't illegally download it. Buy the damn thing. And with Star Parody. Wonderful talent. Lewis Price has been our very special guest. We'll see you next time on Breaking It Down.